Thank you, Chair, and good morning. My comments build on some of the comments that have already been articulated by other experts and by distinguished delegates from Via Campesina. Yesterday, I mentioned that an estimated 2.5 billion people, including 370 million indigenous peoples, depend on lands and natural resources that are used and managed collectively, and that these communities are estimated to hold as much as 65% of the world's land area through customary community-based tenure systems. What I wanted to add to that point in the context of the conversation of this particular article is that these collectively owned lands are also biodiversity hotspots that regulate water flows, sequester carbon, and maintain the ecological balance of our planet, and that peasants and rural communities have been using traditional knowledge to preserve our ecosystem for centuries. So the idea that we call upon them to now have a responsibility to do so just it flies in the face of acknowledging that they have in fact been carrying on that burden for all of humanity for centuries. As many have already been saying, we all benefit and should benefit from and should defend this right, as was also eloquently stated by Professor Esquinas this morning, and that this is an existential crisis. It's an existential crisis not just for peasants, for all of humanity, and for the many life forms that we coexist with on this planet. But the normative point that I wanted to make in the context of this article is that the use of traditional knowledge and the maintenance of biodiversity and the ability to live in lifestyles that have been preserved and honored for centuries has also enabled peasants to enjoy a range of human rights, including their rights to culture, as has been said by our delegate from IITC, as well as their rights to food and health, among other rights. The purpose of this declaration is to strengthen rights protections, but it is also happening in the context of a massive assault on peasants' dignity, identity, and very way of life. So we also have to read this article and many other articles in the declaration as fulfilling states' fundamental human rights obligation to not take any measures that result in the retrogression of existing enjoyment of human rights. This is not the enunciation of new rights. Quite to the contrary, we are trying very hard to ensure that the rights already enjoyed by peasants do not regress. And it has also been articulated in the context of international environmental law and climate change mitigation policies that indeed the principle of non-retrogression is also an essential part of ensuring sustainability, and that retrogressive measures contradict fundamentally states' obligation to ensure sustainability, including in land management, biodiversity, and agricultural practices. I wanted to say that as a point for this article, but I think it applies more fully to this document, that instead of framing this as new rights, we start to frame and think about our fundamental obligation to ensure retrogression of existing rights and build upon that to ensure protections. The right to biological diversity, to me, feels like a very fundamental and obvious means to do so. Thank you.